I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin.
The countdown to Browns training camp and the preseason, it's on as the quarterback competition takes center stage. And the NBA offseason is here, too. So the Cavaliers could make a move at any moment like they did this morning by big new contracts for the boys in the front office. So don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
One thing we do know that this does for the Browns, adds another layer of drama, Andy. In case you needed more drama, there it is from the Cleveland Browns. And you know the front office guys had to think when that phone rang.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Is it at the point now where you're like, oh, here we go. We know this is going to happen again. I mean, you almost settle in. We I don't want to say we joke about it, but we always say, like, even when we started the show, don't get into trouble in between the time that you have your last mini camp and the start of the regular season.
It wasn't just trouble. Dan's immortal words.
Only three things in the NFL take place this time of year: contract extensions, trades, and arrests.
There you go.
Charity events.
Get arrested.
Charity events.
There's Andy Baskin.
We're trying to be positive.
For charity.
No, you know what? You're right. We'll throw that as a fourth
because
we should have a little bit of positive in there too.
There you go. Nice job, AB.
Hey, no problem.
What'd it be? What'd it jump on? DM?
See all those guys playing in Lake Tahoe this week. That was kind of fun. I enjoyed that. I know you don't care. Never mind. I told you I was going to watch some of it. I watched very little.
I want to go back to you know what? Before we do that, Roman's in Canton. Hi, Roman.
Hi, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good. You good?
Good, good. I just want to ask you guys a question. Do you think this organization is a successful, functional organization? Now, and I ask that as like not as if they operate. Yeah, yes, they are a business. They are an organization. Would you consider them successful, or is the dysfunction start at the top? Because every year there's something dysfunctional or something where guys aren't on the same page and it gets leaked to the media or somebody gets arrested or one of the rookies does this or that or the veterans, you know, a guy gets let go and he, you know, talks bad about the top of the organization. Do you think it goes all the way top to the city, you know, with the stadium, with where it should be and how they have a relationship with Cleveland? Do you think that ultimately trickles down to what happens between the lines?
All right, so let's go back to your first question, Roman. The first question you said,
is the organization successful?
Is the organization successful? From a financial standpoint, 100%.
Without question.
No, at $5 billion successful if you're the Haslams, because according to CNBC, the Browns are valued at $6.02 billion. And if you remember, Jimmy and Dee purchased the team in 2012 for $1 billion.
But you only get that if you sell.
That's right. You only get that if you sell.
But your asset has been enhanced.
Good point.
Right. So it's a successful marketing organization.
It's a successful business.
Yeah. Art is the only guy that couldn't figure that out, right? Art Modell is the only guy that couldn't figure it out.
Somehow.
Right, right. To the fans' fault, though. Like, we buy in every year and, you know, we have expectations and they trick us every year into thinking that it's going to be different. And then it's not. So my next question is from a business standpoint, sure. But would the dysfunction from the front office, does that trickle down into, like I said, between the lines going onto the field? Do you think that has any effect on it?
You could make the argument, sure, last year they won 3 games, the year before they won 11. So,
Roman, I would say any business is a reflection of the people who are at the top and right. How they run their business. And it, you know, you treat your employees well, you're going to be treated well, I think, as the person that owns the business. So, yes, I think, and I will say this still in blue in the face, every business is that way.
Okay. Broad strokes. I understand what you guys are saying, but what my point is that every single year it seems like there's some sort of drama, controversy that, you know, some point stems to the top of the food chain. And when are they going to look themselves in the eye and say that's the case and that's not going to end up, putting the product out on the field, because we do this every single year, guys. I mean, how many rookies are we going to draft that, and you can say that it happens with other teams. Sure, I understand that. But it's always either the Browns, the Raiders, or, you know, team where...
Not completely true on that one, Roman. It's league-wide. You know, you have a lot of young guys in a very aggressive business, and you put a lot of young people together, you're going to have things. Unfortunately, the Browns have had more than their fair share.
Consistently, though, right?
But Roman,
again, I'm looking, and I hate to, I'm not trying to downplay this, but if you go back to that chart that I was talking to from USA Today, that, you know, and that this chart's from 4 months ago, the Browns and every other NFL team are about the same. In fact, the Browns have less than 10 arrests since 2015. And there's, according to this, from 4 months ago, 7 or 8 teams that have more than 10 arrests, for whatever that's worth.
Not going to sit here and say the Browns are, you know, off the hook on this.
They
all need to be held responsible, because if you're going to bring people into your work environment to represent your team and represent your city, mm-hmm. you're going to try and get it right. And obviously their record for doing that, the percentages are they get it right most of the time. Not that, and again, facts are going to present themselves with Quinshon Judkins, and we'll figure things out.
I also wonder.
But this is going to happen. It happened years ago. It's happening now. It will always happen.
I wonder what the impact of that.
In all sports.
I wonder what the impact of the NFL rookie transition program was. Remember when they used to come here to Cleveland? Yeah. I think it was pre-pandemic. They all came into Cleveland. They all went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They all stayed at a area hotel, basically. That could handle the meetings that they had to have so that they could go in and talk to these guys about all the things that are important, health and safety and things that happen to you as a rookie that don't happen to regular people, and people that are coming after you for money or people that might be coming after you. You can think of a million reasons. I don't have to put them all out there, but you all know that when you're a young person with millions of dollars in your hands, people look at you differently, and they could look at you as a big dollar sign some ways. Yeah. And so, but they quit doing that rookie transition program on site. And one of the reasons they did that is that I think they went more online with the whole thing because there are so many free agents that don't get the same message. I would love to see the data to see if maybe they need to go back to that, whether it's, and maybe now is the time to do the rookie transition program for them. It would be now in between regular camp and guys that are free agents that teams should have to send them and have them do that. There's a lot of valuable knowledge that can be gained. I've sat in on the NBA one, and based on the NBA ones, there's no excuse for those guys to not have any clue of what's going on. They lay everything out to those guys, and it gets down and dirty. They know exactly what's going on.
Jim's in Cleveland. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hey, Jim.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. all the details and facts that you maybe can call truths even behind all of this can never seem to hide the ultimate feeling of embarrassment from this organization. This Judkins situation is I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everything overall. When will this city say enough is enough? Quit embarrassing. I mean, they've had moments where they look like they might be turning a corner, but just in typical Browns fashion, they blow it. I'm not sure when it was ever good, really. It was only transient, at best.
It was good when I was a kid. I mean, when they were playing at the stadium, it was good then. I mean, look, the fact that the city rallied, and I'm not trying to go back in history, but I will. I'll go back, 30 years.
It's been a while, Andy.
I get it.
But you got to move on to the present in the future.
Okay, so I'll be here in the present with you. Are you saying you don't want a football team?
Unfortunately, and I hate to say that, Andy, because I know what the Browns mean to this. I know what they mean to me. But we can't keep doing this to ourselves, guys.
Jim, you're doing it to yourself. If you don't want to be a football fan, don't be a football fan. That's it.
I do. Listen. Move them. There has to be room in Canton. Move them down there. Build a stadium down there. Take them to Canton Bulldogs, baby.
All right, Jim.
Goodbye,
Jim. There we go.
That's the answer. Everyone's mad that they're moving on the other side of a boundary for the city of Cleveland. Now you want to move them down to Stark County. Okay. It is what it is. It's the price you pay, and I've heard Jeff say this 1,000 times. It's the price you pay for having an NFL team. Guess what? Your team could suck every year in and out. Your ownership might be the worst ownership in the history of sports. Could be the best ownership in the history of sports. This is the price you pay for having an NFL team. Guess what? I'm looking at every team. Every team has had someone arrested at least twice since 2015. Is it a bad look? Absolutely. Yep. But it's the same bad look that every NFL city has. So really, if you don't want a team, I'd love to put you back in a way back machine to feel what it felt like when this team left here. And I don't care. Not, so you want to call me old? Call me old. I don't care. But it was miserable. Absolutely miserable to have to sit out and watch the rest of the league keep moving forward while your team was playing in Baltimore. I get it. I don't like everything that's going on. I mean, but the embarrassment is just part of it, and drama is drama. The team is valued at $6 billion? Come on. There's a business there.
Though the Browns have had their more than their fair share of these incidents, the entire league has had these things. So I let's see how this plays out with Judkins. And you know, if he's lucky, everything gets released or dismissed and there's no issues. And if there are issues, and even if we'll see what the NFL decides to do. You know, legal's one thing, NFL's another thing here. There are two different things going on, and we'll figure it all out. Guardians are on the All-Star break. Guardians are drafting baseball players. Guardians are drafting strange baseball players for the Guardians. They're also drafting guys with names that are difficult to pronounce. We'll get to the bottom of it. We'll have the number one pick pronounce his name for us because you could pronounce it 5 different ways. Next on Baskin and Phelps. And it's a philosophical shift in the organization. This is not just a coincidence. It's coming up.